The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Our tech team ensure your broadband runs at its optimum speed. It's all part of the service.
9:28, Wednesday morning, straight to Adrian Dunbar, a friend of ours, I'd like to think. Adrian, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ryan. How are you?
How are you? Are you in the UK or are you on the island?
I'm in the UK. I'm in London. I've been isolating and all the rest of it. Mm. And we're in lockdown like everybody else. So, yeah, that's where I am. Yeah.
And where are you in your head? How are the nerves, as they say?
Yeah, it's a difficult time for everybody, Ryan. There's no doubt about it. You know, we're all trying to keep in our creative head, us, creative people, because, you know, otherwise we go a bit stir crazy. So we're all trying to find things to do that are creative to keep us going. Talking to friends, working with friends, working online, doing Zoom stuff, all that kind of thing. So that's where we're at. We're keeping going, but we need to know it's going to end at some point. I think that's where everybody's at with the vaccine.
You know what? I was just saying the same thing this morning, that before we had these kind of sections. This is going to last 6 weeks, and then it'll or they will lock it down for another 6 weeks. But it seems a little bit lacking it with an end game at this point. Although we know down the line that with the vaccinations and everything, it'll happen. But just feels a bit vague this time around.
Yes, it does feel a bit vague, and we're all up for it. We're all up for it. If we get definite kind of instructions, I think we're all up for doing things. It's when it's a bit vague that, you know, things get difficult for us all.
Yeah, and the numbers in the UK, pretty shocking. Yesterday, I think they had the most cases since this thing began. You know, I felt around Christmas we'd be heading into the tail end of it, and maybe, you know, on the march to freedom. But certainly where you are, cause for concern.
Yeah, real cause for concern here. A lot of people who just didn't believe in it, I mean, which is very, very strange. There's a lot of naysayers out there and, people thinking it was impinging on their freedoms and stuff. Well, I think that's all changed now. Really sadly here, we have got to a very difficult place. You know, when you see various council bodies opening temporary morgues, you know we've reached a place that's very, very dangerous. So I think, you know, one of the problems in London is there's a lot of people here and there's not a lot of places to go. So, you know, if you're homeschooling with two kids in a small flat, you've got to get them out. And there's certain spaces you can go to. And those spaces are, you know, there's a lot of people coming to the heaths and the parks and everything. And, you know, it's just very difficult to contain this thing. That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah. And yet you can't blame people. They're also being told, go and exercise, but they've very little choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tough time. How's your mum, Adrian?
Yeah. My mum is fine, thank God. Yeah, thanks for asking, Ryan. Yeah, she's up in the Skilling in a care home. She has Alzheimer's.
Okay.
They've managed to get the vaccine. We can't, you know, she can't see anybody yet. I mean, the girls, my sisters, go and see her, of course, and you know, wave to her and kind of manage to chat to her now and again. But she isn't good. Her default position all her life has been to be a positive person, and that seems to have carried through into the illness. So we're very lucky in that respect.
The trouble for people, for families like yours and so many of our listeners, is that when you have somebody in a facility like that, particularly if they've an Alzheimer's situation or are sliding into that world, trying to keep in touch with them, be it FaceTime or even a regular telephone call, becomes increasingly difficult because of the technology, if you like, and the staff are quite busy to be getting into holding phones up or charging up phones and so on. The whole thing is gruesomely complicated.
It's gruesomely complicated, especially when you can't explain to the person why we are in this situation.
Yes.
And the necessity to explain every time you arrive why you can't give them a hug, why you can't just sit in beside them and talk to them. I mean, it's a horror for so many people at the moment. I really feel sorry for people who are in that position with their parents.
The choice of poem that you read at one point throughout all this craziness, Seamus Heaney's poem Storm on the Island, was, I don't know, it was requested by Seamus's daughter, Catherine Ann, I think, for you to read. What a beautiful piece to read.
Yeah, yeah, it really is very apposite at this present time. As is all Seamus's work, you know, it's funny the way you keep returning to his work.
Yes.
for inspiration and solace at these times, isn't it? You know,
yeah. But
you find so much there.
We do, and even, I mean, Joe Biden's going to be the president of America as of, you know, as I say, 4 o'clock local time tonight. And it seems to be every time he stands in front of a microphone, he's quoting Irish poetry, which can only be a good thing.
Yeah, yes, he quotes the Cure of Troy, of course, as did Bill Clinton, and, you know, yeah. You know, he quotes Joyce, and yeah, that's his background. That's his, you know, he's tapping into Irish culture, you know.
Yes.
Irish culture is very strong and has a lot of things to say to us, our own culture, you know. And I think Biden is tapping into that.
No doubt about it. And you finished up, you managed to just, I think, finish up Line of Duty Season 6 before the, during a bit of COVID times happening, but you got it in the can, did you? Is it done?
Yeah, we got it in the can.
Great.
It's done. And yeah, so it should be out. It wasn't perfect the way we had to do it. You know, we usually do it in two blocks of three.
Mm.
So it's, you know, and it's a complicated story, so you keep it in your head. But, you know, we had to stop in March, come back, and then we were jumping all over the place. So, you know, we'd do a bit from episode one, a bit from episode six, a bit from episode three. So it was very difficult to keep it all in your head sometimes. But we got it done, and it'll be fixed in the edit.
Good.
And hopefully it'll be coming out March, April.
Are you delighted with it? Are you proud of it? Are you nervous about us seeing it?
I'm nervous about this one because of how we had to shoot it.
Mm.
You know, I'm a bit nervous because I haven't got a handle on it. You know what I mean? Usually you've got a good feeling of overall how it's all gone. But this time it's been a bit more difficult to kind of get a handle on it. So
yeah.
I'm nervous about it. I'm hoping it's going to be of the same standard as usual. Fingers crossed.
Did you have... I'm being kind of glib here, but was there any issue with COVID continuity in terms of, you know, we all come in shapes and sizes, Adrian. You know, if you disappear for a little while,
yeah.
You're stuck indoors a lot.
Yeah, I know what you're driving at. Yes, a few of us kind of looked at one another when they said, right, we're going to start in 3 weeks' time. So, oh my God, you know, we've just been sitting around eating and kind of putting on weight. Are we going to fit into the costume when we get back? So there was a bit of a, I think there was a few crash diets going on, that's for sure.
Oh, it's such a great program. I'm very excited about its return and continued success with that, I must say. Shall we say Vive la France?
We should say Vive la France because I'm here today in my capacity as the cultural envoy, really, for the Centre Cultural Irlandaise in Paris. Which I'm very, you know, honoured to be part of. Mm-hmm. And
what is it? It's the old Irish College, is it? What does that mean as an institution? What is it?
Yes, it's a presence on the site from 1593, but it's 250 years old, the Irish College there, and the Irish government lovingly restored it in the 1980s, and it's now the Centre Cultural Irlandaise. And it's Ireland's cultural flagship in Europe. And after Brexit, we have to, I think, start focusing a bit more on Europe.
Yes.
And so therefore, the Centre Cultural Irlandaise will become more and more important, I think, in the coming years for Irish artists. And as part of their new 5-year strategic plan, they have commissioned 40 artists to do a piece called Addressing the Nations, which is a 3-minute online address. And that they're launching tonight, Wednesday the 20th, 7 p.m. Irish time. You can go to the Centre Cultural Irlandaise site. There's one tonight, the 20th, the 21st, the 27th and the 28th. So the artists are just having these 3-minute addresses where they're kind of saying how they feel about what's happening at the moment and feel what's happening artistically with them. It's a fabulous place, the Centre Cultural Irlandaise. I'd ask any Irish person in Paris, find themselves in Paris, and hopefully we will find ourselves in places like Paris soon, to go and visit it. It's just up behind the Pantheon on Rue des Irlandais. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. You can check it out online. It's a stunning, and it's the jewel in the cultural crown for Ireland, and the Irish government supports it, and the Irish Embassy in Paris supports it.
Yeah, I was over at an event for Goal at one point a few years ago, and I stayed at the embassy with Geraldine in Nissen, who's now with the UN in New York. The relationship between our country and France is probably more profound than we ever give it credit for. Does that make sense? I mean, the ties are strong.
Yes, the ties are strong, and they go back many hundreds of years. Especially the ties, the cultural and intellectual ties in places like the Sorbonne, you know, and of course it was a place where Irish priests had to, you know, the seminaries were set up there during the Elizabethan period, of course, when Catholicism was ostracized and persecuted. And, you know, it still has, the seminary still has, the all the Irish dioceses are in plaques around the kind of the courtyard there. But it's a very beautiful space. And the French people who come there, the Parisians who come there, are always astounded that they walk through this door and inside is this beautiful acre of space in the middle of Paris. You know, and it's our space. And, you know, I think all Irish people should be really proud of the space. And as I say, if they get to Paris, definitely go and have a look.
Go and have a look. And there was a beautiful documentary over Christmas on Charles de Gaulle on TG Car. And I didn't make the connection, but de Gaulle's, I think his great-grandmother was, he was related to Daniel O'Connell. I'm not related. He wrote. Yeah. She had written about him. Or were they related? Anyway, I have to double check that. But anyway, the point is,
I think
of course,
she was related. I think she was related, and she wrote about Daniel O'Connell. You know, whose influence actually, you know, we're only beginning to realise the sort of influence that Daniel O'Connell had. It's very, you know, that was an excellent documentary, and you know, the documentaries in one are great.
Yes, and actually, Olivia O'Leary did a great one on Daniel O'Connell as well. And didn't you do a gorgeous one with Bean?
Yes, I did. And I did, and that took us to Paris. And I also did one on Beckett, of course, and where Samuel Beckett taught, the École Normale Supérieure is absolutely just round the corner from the Centre Culturel Irlandais in Paris. It's very interesting, and that whole area down into a little area called the Rue Mouffetard.
Oh yes,
that's where the it was a big Irish area back in the day, and I think it's time that we go back there and reestablish our base in Paris. You know, it's time to do that again, and the Centre Culturel Irlandais will be right at the centre of all that.
The Rue Mouffetard is kind of a narrow, if I recall, a narrow road, but yet one that is steeped in, I'd suggest like it's bohemian, but beautiful, very French.
Yeah, absolutely, and there's a little square at the top of it.
Yes.
And it's surrounded by all these little cafes, and if you go and sit there, you will watch Beckett plays happening in front of your eyes. Because you, I mean, I sat there, I saw this tramp, absolutely dressed, you know, he'd been to wardrobe, this guy, there's no doubt about it.
Very Beckett, yeah.
We walked across, sat down, took his shoe off, shook his shoe like there was a stone in it, and put it back on. And I nearly laughed. It was like watching.
Yeah,
And you just thought, you know, this is where Sam has sat. He's watched all life go by in these little places in Paris. And he's used it as all these things as metaphors to explain, you know, explain life to us, if you like.
For sure.
So that area is an area we should all be exploring.
I mean, there are fewer more beautiful cemeteries in the world than Père Lachaise. And you'll see, was it Oscar Wilde there? Did I see his tomb there?
Yes, you did. Père Lachaise, and also Montparnasse is a really interesting, that's another really interesting, that's where Beckett, of course, is. And very, very beautiful. I mean, I'm beside Highgate Cemetery here.
Yes.
Funny. And Glasnevin, of course, is an incredible cemetery.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
interesting to live by cemeteries because, you know, they're very still, very quiet areas of the city, and you know, at the moment, it's proven to be a real godsend.
Well, indeed. Well, the right expression under the circumstances. Adrian, it's really good to talk to you. And we're going to send people to the Centre Culturel Irlandais in Paris, which is simply centreculturelirlandais.com. and they get a flavour of the place, the building, hopefully, and then the events as described by you, starting this evening at 7 o'clock. And it's lovely to keep the artists, by the way, alive and kicking, because there's so many of them involved in this project, but also the relations between our two countries, as you say so astutely, to maybe kind of head towards Europe as much as towards the UK with our new post-Brexit relationship, for sure.
Exactly.
Listen, I hope you're well and the family are well, Adrian. Look forward to seeing you in real life soon.
Thank you very much, Ryan. Thank you.
As always. Thanks, Adrian. Adrian Dunbar joining us from the UK. Lots of texts in for Adrian, as you can expect. Love Line of Duty. Adrian always does a wonderful job, and it's lovely to hear Adrian Dunbar on the show this morning. Says Jenny in Baldoyle. I love Ted in Line of Duty, which of course is the character played by Adrian. But one of the most powerful scenes I've ever seen on TV is the final scene of the last episode of Blood, which still brings a tear to my eye. So thank you to Adrian for that. So hopefully you'll hear those as he gently hangs up the phone.